It's time for the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast, featuring Jonathan Ritz, Alex Huff, and Braden Crow.
What's up, and welcome in to the Average Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. This week is just me, Braden, and Alex. Jonathan is at the beach, taking a beach vacation, so it's just us this week. So, Alex, thanks for holding down the fort while I was gone last week. I did listen. There were multiple times that I did want to interject, but I couldn't because I was just listening. But anyways, I loved what y'all did last week. I think we should keep doing it. And let's just react to week two. What stuck out to you?
Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, it was kind of one of those, you don't really know if week one is a fluke or not. And then you see things happen again, and we still don't really have enough. I kind of like to use 3 weeks as a good data set before I make big, you know, reactions one way or the other. But it's also fun to kind of take stock and figure out where things are at. I mean, I think that just the most shocking thing, outside of the fact that we both pulled something up and we're like, are the Dallas Cowboys defense like a top scorer, like more than quarterbacks, more than everybody? That's real. But I think outside of that, the two biggest takeaways I think are on the same team, and that's Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams of the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, we had completely written off the Rams going into this season. And granted, it's only 2 weeks in, but they also played the 49ers last week. And that defense is, we know, a top defense in the NFL. And they were able to produce, and they didn't win the game. But, I mean, there's many fantasy-relevant players for that team. So that's probably the biggest takeaway for me, I would think. Just, it's a shock. And we're still waiting to see. I know I sold Kyron Williams high somewhere, but I think we're just waiting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, who did you trade Kyron Williams for again?
I traded away Kyron Williams in a keeper league for DJ Moore, straight up.
Oh, my and word.
I'm big on DJ Moore, so I'm buying the dip a little bit. But I need some wide receiver help, and I have too many running backs to play. So it was kind of one of those. It was Kyron Williams or James Cook. So I still have James Cook above Kyron Williams. Is that where you stand on that?
Absolutely. I just kind of hold to the fact of, like, if I can take a Kyron Williams type or a Zach Moss type, or we'll get into him later, but Jerome Ford type, and pair him with another semi-decent asset on my bench and trade it to a team who is struggling to fill a starting lineup because they lost Chubb or because they lost Saquon or whatever, and they're just dying to have depth, I would much rather do that. But In a pinch, I don't mind it. I mean, his usage was crazy. It was like 97 snaps or something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'll still take Cook for sure. Like, if we're just talking about if they're both on my team and I have to start one, I would take Cook, unless there was just like a crazy bad matchup, right?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, this could just be one of those, you know, league-winning waiver wire pickups. But I think that just the probability says that he's going to fade eventually. And when Cooper Kupp comes back, he's not going to get as many targets. I think he had 10 targets as a running back. So, yeah. I mean, it's just a probability game. But I know on the doc that we put, I guess to kind of transition into the games, maybe we can start the Thursday night games. Obviously, we're recording this Tuesday night, so we have seen the Nick Chubb injury and the fallout, but we can just kind of maybe progress through the week as it happened last week and kind of talk through things and how they apply to week three. You have Madison up here. What do you want to talk about on Alexander Madison, who's currently the RB32 on the year? His 13 points first week, 4.9 this last week. Are you moving off him completely?
Yeah, you know, I didn't mind him in draft season. I thought that his price was a little bit high compared to the players around him and like what their ceiling could be. But there was one tweet I saw, and I wish I could give you credit and I can't, I'm sorry. But someone had a picture of him and the only caption was something like, Alexander Madison is this year's Mike Davis. And like, I couldn't unthink that. And every like 1.5 yard carry I see for Madison, like that's all I see. He has not impressed at all. And It's a high flying offense. I mean, Hockenson looks amazing. Addison looks great. Cousins is the QB1 on the year. Jefferson still doing Jefferson stuff. Awful defense.
And they're 0-2, right?
Yeah. I mean, but who did they lose to the first week? Do you remember?
I have it pulled up. Let me see.
I want to say
the Bucks.
Okay, that was a wild game. Yeah. But you know, you barely lost to the Eagles, but they can't do anything in the run game. No. Like they can't do a thing. And so, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they trade for someone. I don't necessarily see like a Kareem Hunt or Fournette like contributing, but like, you know, the thing is that their head coach is from the same coaching tree as McVay. And so like, could Cam Akers be traded there? I don't know, but I'm here for it if it happens.
I mean, that'd definitely be interesting. I know there's a lot of big waiver wire, you know, pickups this week and stuff. And by the time this comes out, waivers will have already ran, but a name that like maybe we should just, I'm going to kind of plant the flag on, and I have him everywhere I can get him, is Ty Chandler. He's not a big pickup right now because there's not an injury and all this. There's, you know, Jerome Ford and there's Kyron Williams and Zach Moss and Matt Breida. But Ty Chandler might be a name to just like, if he's out there, just throw him on your bench because his peripherals are great. He's, you know, always in that, he's in that elite athletic testing category, and he looks good when he's getting chances, and he is getting more snaps and more touches. It's only 2 weeks, but he's gotten more this week than he did last week. And he, you know, him and Dwayne McBride were kind of fighting for that spot. It looks like it's clearly him. So if they do end up moving off Madison, this could be kind of a, you know, just one random week. Ty Chandler ends up being the guy and is explosive and might be a steal.
Yeah. I mean, this is what ambiguous backfields are made of. Like, it's a vet that usually regresses and a young athletic running back who is able to take the reins. And so that's not going to shock me one bit, but like Kyron Williams, I'd play him 10 times out of 10 over Madison right now.
Oh yeah. And I, you know, I don't have Madison anywhere. I don't think I have one share of Madison in all 15 of my leagues. But yeah, that's interesting. I guess, is there, what you're about to say something?
No, I just, I don't have any desire to roster him, to play him. And there is, whenever you look at the Vikings, it's like everyone's doing their job superbly. Like, primetime football quality. Kirk Cousins looks great. And the one glaring thing they cannot do that is hindering them, making them one-dimensional, is Alexander Mattison.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, the other side of that same game, obviously DeAndre Swift had his big breakout game. It looks like it might be short-lived because Kenneth Gainwell was on IR, but do I get to take a little victory lap there? Just a small one?
You can take you can take a small one. Because you loved Kenneth Gainwell forever, and then as soon as Swift comes to town, you're ready to jump on the Swift bandwagon.
So it's really, if no matter who does well in this backfield, I kind of win as long as it's
It's not Rashad Penny. Yeah. I think that's pretty safe to say.
I think that should have been Jonathan's cut. Would have been Rashad Penny instead of the other. But I don't know. Where's your head out in this backfield? I'm playing Swift as a flex play. I'm hesitant to play Gainwell just this week if he's healthy, because I kind of want to see how it plays out. But I see the argument to play him as a flex play as well. Can you just play either guy at this point?
So this week I have Gainwell multiple places. I don't have Swift, but if I had Gainwell, I would not play him, just because if he's not 100%, Swift has shown that he can handle that workload, and the Eagles would have no reason to rush Gainwell back into it. So that's where I lean with Gainwell. With Swift, I don't mind starting him this week, but I don't know, man. The Eagles are weird. Like, right as you start to trust someone in the backfield, they have three guys for a reason, and they haven't cut Penny yet, and they've held on to Gainwell forever. They've used Scott. I don't know. I would much rather sell high on Swift and pick up someone else than just bet that he's going to keep continuing this.
Yeah. I think he's a safe flex play though, at least this week,
sure,
if anything else. And I also think he's one pretty big game away from having this backfield to himself, or at least being the lead bell cow until he gets inevitably injured. Those wide receivers, are you worried about AJ Brown at all? Devonta Smith obviously looks great. It's just kind of wide receiver one, you know, 1A, really, right?
Yeah, I think there's like Devonta Smith is just better than we gave him credit for, but I think that AJ Brown is going to be great, and I'm trying to buy him everywhere I can. The one guy I do have some concern for is Goddard, and that's not to say he won't have his games, but I don't think that he's going to be like a consistent, like, okay, I know I can count on 10 points from you. I don't know if we're going to see that forever. And I think he's going to be the odd man out in it.
Yeah. It's looking like that Hockenson, Kittle, Goddard tier. It looks like he was kind of probably the one that was probably the least best option there in the draft. They were all kind of going about the same range.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll get to him too, but like Kittle's down too. And, you know, but
I guess Waller's was in that tier, but
but it's just still so early, you know, like I think you're totally spot on with what you were saying. Like before you even said it, I remember you talking about it last year of like 3 weeks is a really, really good sample size. And after 3 weeks, it's pretty hard to unravel that evidence that you've created in your head and the stats you're seeing. So, let's pivot to the Bengals. Where are we at with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase?
So not worried about Ja'Marr Chase overall. Just a couple of down weeks. It happens. We saw T. Higgins kind of bounce back. We argue that this is the best wide receiver core in the league duo, but they are the streakiest two wide receivers.
Yep.
Like, and they're both streaky. So it's just like, whereas like Waddle and Hill, they both have pretty high floors on a weekly basis, and then one of them will pop. But like Higgins and Chase, they'll both goose egg you in any given week, and they'll both win you the week. So it's just like, you kind of know what you're setting up for. It looks like Burrow is going to be out this week from what I'm reading just as of Tuesday night. And if at least 1 week, if he does play and he's not full strength, I'm still worried. You can't really do anything with Burrow. You can't really sell him. You can probably play like a Jared Goff in a plus home matchup, or, you know, there's other names I think on the waiver wire that you could pick up and play. But with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, you just paid so much for him. You just have to ride it out. I think the one maybe concern pieces in this offense actually though is Mixon. Like,
I'm not concerned one bit.
I mean, explain them, because I feel like that crazy
utilization, restructured deal to be here 1 year. It's so I believe that they're just gonna give him the ball a ton. I mean, Travion Williams has obviously proven, like, there is no one on this team who is a Jaylen Warren, Tank Bigsby, like caliber type player. Like, I just don't see any electricity from any of them. Like, they gave Chase Brown tons of work in the preseason. Travion Williams has been there 4 years, and Chris Evans is hurt. Like, they haven't brought anyone in, and like, he got dinked and dunked tons of targets last week. They handed him the ball a ton, even when they were down by two possessions. Like, I'm not concerned one bit for Joe Mixon. I think his floor is what we saw last week, and it was 60 yards and some receptions and like 12 points half PPR. And I think that's like the floor for him.
Yeah, I think his season this year is going to parallel very closely to his season last year, where he's kind of in that middling RB2 range. Like you said, these last 2 weeks, I mean, he's the RB21 right now. Like, he's good, not great. He'll have a big, he had that 5-touchdown game. I don't think he'll do that again, but he'll have a, you know, 2-touchdown game here and there. But I think by and large, he's kind of in that middling RB2 range, which is not what you paid for. I don't believe in that price.
I mean, the ADP wasn't crazy. Like, it was back end RB1, high RB2. And so, yeah. so I don't think it's crazy. I mean, we're going to get to these games in a second, but just like rapid fire, would you take Joe Mixon or Kyren Williams rest of season?
I mean, I know this is rapid fire. I'd probably take Joe Mixon. Yeah, Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon or Rashad White?
After this last game, I think I'd take Rashad White.
Joe Mixon and James Conner.
They're about even for me. I'd probably lean Joe Mixon for the offense, but it's in that range. Yeah. I mean, I think we just projected him to be a little higher, I guess, was my point there.
I hear you.
But
enough about the Bengals. Let's talk about Jahmyr Gibbs. Where are we at with Jahmyr Gibbs? There's the hype of he's going to be the lead guy with Monty being out a couple weeks, probably. Monty sustained like, was it a knee injury? Is that what it was? Or thigh bruise, maybe? I think it's like a couple weeks. It's not an IR type.
Yeah. It's a bruise, yeah.
But, you know, I've seen a lot of people get hyped about him this next week, and I've seen some fantasy platforms like have crazy high projections for him, but he didn't look super good last week. And the Seahawks aren't known to be necessarily a super great defense. So where are you at with Gibbs? Are you buying low? I don't even know if it's a buy low. I think it depends on the owner of like, some people are super pumped and other people are like, he doesn't look like what he was supposed to be.
I've seen more hype on him than not. Like, I feel like the consensus is, at least in the circles that I'm in, are Jahmyr Gibbs is almost untouchable because he's about to break out. If you could package him and get a Derrick Henry or I don't know if you can get Ramondre, Josh Jacobs, I think I would do that. So I would almost like go against the grain there. I still think he's going to be fine. I don't know if the Lions are just going to use him as much as we would like them to use him. We saw Craig Reynolds come in and really get a lot of work. I know we have Amon-Ra with the turf toe stuff, and so that could mean an uptick in targets, but we've seen a couple of it. It's just we know this Lions offense is high powered, but we don't know where anything is going, and it's hard for us to predict it. So I don't know. I think he'll be good. I think he'll be kind of a high-end RB2 with some really good PPR appeal, but and he'll have his weeks. But I think if you can use the hype right now, I'm a big, like, if there's unrealized value on the table and you can go get realized value for it, I will do that 10 days out of 10. So like I think you could almost go get somebody with him. But I think if you have him as your RB2, he's just a really high upside RB2.
Yeah, I think his upside is just enormous. Like I have tried to get him in every league I'm in. And honestly, the way this game was headed, I was like, I'm going to be able to get him this week. Like, I'm going to be able to trade for him because he hasn't looked good. Monty got the touchdown, and then Monty got hurt. And then the chances are out the window.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think if you can go get like a Derrick Henry, a Josh Jacobs, you know, I don't know if you can get Austin Eckler on the back of his injury. But if something like that, I would definitely do it.
I don't think that I put this team in there, but as I was looking at the schedule, I wanted to talk about it. Let's talk about the Texans really quick. Can we talk about, I for sure want to talk about Damian Pierce, but should we talk about CJ Stroud and Nico Collins?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to do with CJ Stroud. I'm tempted. I was texting you in a one quarterback league, just second game in the NFL, throws for over 300 yards and he's got the rushing upside. His weapons look good. They're going to be in a negative game script. Like, I kind of want to just like stash him. And I don't know if he'll be the same Justin Fields kind of situation we had last year, but he just seems to have a lot of fantasy appeal. And he's got the rushing attack when he needs it. And then we've seen both, I guess, Nico Collins and Tank Dell also looked really good. I don't really know what to do with them long-term. They look good. They're going to be in negative game scripts, but I'm not overly confident in them like long term. Are you? Like, I understand if they're under waiver wire, you got to pick them up. But I don't see like a sense in trying to trade for them high.
Trading high for Stroud or Collins?
For like Nico Collins. Like, he looks great, but I don't see why. I don't buy in enough to say like go buy him, even if he's like doing this well. Like, I don't
sure.
know. Am I crazy on that? Are you in the same boat or?
No, I mean, like, I'm just looking at the box score. Like, I'm just looking at the team logos and I'll rattle off all the, like, Ayuk, Debo, like, I want them over Nico. Like, I still would take Drake London over Nico. I would take
George Pickens.
Yeah, I would take Pickens. I would probably take Addison just for the ceiling. Like, I would probably take Collins over like Dobbs, but
Michael Pittman.
Ooh, I don't love either, so I'm not a good person to ask. But
Nico or Gabe Davis?
Gabe Davis.
Yeah. So that's about. I mean, I'm about the same thing. Like I think it's a good couple weeks. Really good 1 week.
But like, I'll take Nico over like Elijah Moore or Treylon Burks.
Yeah, Rashad Bateman.
Yep, Rashad Bateman. I would take him over that.
Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I would take him over Sutton. So yeah, I mean, you know, and I like him more than like Kendrick Bourne or whatever on the Patriots. You know, like he's had good weeks too, but I like him more than Panthers receivers. So he's probably there. He's probably like a low ceiling wide receiver too, like a sturdy flex option, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Let's talk about one of the main things we caught from week two. And in your famous words, a rising tide raises all boats. And so let's talk about
we're gonna get copyrighted for that or something. Shakespeare's gonna take me to court.
No one from the JFK camp is gonna care. let's talk about Justin Fields. Like, how worried are we? And how does that affect DJ Moore? How does it affect Roschon Johnson, Khalil Herbert? Where are you at?
Well, I really like Roschon. I still like him as a stash. He looks good. I think he's kind of a midseason breakout. In terms of Justin Fields, there's really just not much you can do right now. I think it doesn't look good. I saw a stat, and I can't quote this, so apologize to whoever said this, but he had, in the last year alone, he had 48 design runs just for him. So far this year, he has had two.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's like, that's kind of his bread and butter. I'm inclined to believe that at some point, they're going to say, what the heck are we doing? We have to get him in design runs. We have to get him space. He now has some weapons around him. Let's kind of get those more in the screen game. Let's figure out a way to utilize this better. I don't believe, like, what are they going to do? Just try this the whole year? And they're not going to bench. I mean, they have too much capital to bench him. So I think at some point they'll figure it out. And kind of the thing with Justin Fields too is like, you can't really sell him because everyone's afraid of him. But like, he's had 15 and 16 points the last 2 weeks in a quarterback league. So it's like, he still has the rushing baseline. He has a really high floor for you. We're just waiting for those big monster weeks where he, you know, throws for over 200 yards and two touchdowns and rushes for 50, 60, 100 yards. So I think those will still come. I think it's a hard couple of weeks. In terms of DJ Moore, I am buying low. I think like they showed that a little bit this last week. He had over 100 yards and they played terrible and they're going to be in negative game scripts. I think they're going to design DJ Moore ways to get the ball. I think I know my bold prediction was a top 10 wide receiver. It's probably realistically somewhere between like 12 and like 18, maybe 20. He's still going to be fine for you. That's about where you drafted him. But I think he'll have his weeks, especially if they get rolling. You're not going to be able to buy him. So it's a little disappointing, but I'm panicked on the Bears. Like if I was a Bears fan, like in real football, I would be like, well, you know, trying to find a different outlook because it does not look good for the next couple of years for them. But for fantasy this year, I think they're still going to be very good. And like I said, I do like Roschon Johnson. I'm stashing him everywhere I can. Khalil Herbert just doesn't look like the guy. And Roschon does look really good when he gets the work. It's just a matter of sitting. Can you sit on him long enough before he pops?
Well, and everyone's talking about how the issue with Fields, it's partly Fields, but it's partly the pass protection. And like everyone knows Roschon profiles as a pass protector, and Khalil Herbert, that is like his glaring weak spot. And so, you know, Roschon's snap percentage went up last week, and I would be shocked if it does not increase even more because of this type of this type of problem they're having, because they've got to do something for Fields. It's a problem.
And I think it's also kind of a domino effect too. Once they get the running game going, then defenses have to be a little more honest with Fields. They have to be a little more honest with DJ Moore. All of a sudden more openings there, and it kind of just all goes together. So I think they'll get it together. Just, it could be next week, or it could be, you know, week 8 or 9.
Yep.
It's going to be a rough couple of weeks if it is a while until they get it going, but
yeah.
What are you going to do?
Super quick. Talking about the Jaguars, there's 4 relevant pass catchers in Ridley, Kirk, Zay Jones, and Evan Engram. And I think that we thought in the offseason that one of them would be the odd man out, but three players could be relevant, and that would kind of just be the way it goes. Do you think that we're eventually going to have 3 relevant and one player like eventually like fade away, or do you think it's just going to be a roulette to figure out who it is each week?
I think eventually we're going to get down to 3. I think the other pass catcher in there is Travis Etienne as well.
Yeah.
I do think that Calvin Ridley is still, I don't think he was in that elite wide receiver 1 territory. Everyone was overreacting from week 1. I still think he's kind of a low end wide receiver 1, high end wide receiver 2. And I think Kirk is still a high end wide receiver, or a middling to low end wide receiver 2 on a volume level. And I think those two guys are going to be the most consistent at the end of this. I don't know where Zay Jones falls. I don't know how many people are really rostering him and playing him and relying on him. But then it's hard. I think the biggest hit there is Evan Engram, because tight ends, we really like tight ends that are maybe the primary target, if not the secondary target on their team. And Evan Engram is at least, at best, the third target. And so he'll have his games, but I think he takes the biggest fade out of the 3. Kirk seems to have rebounded. We both liked Kirk this offseason. He's kind of, him and Calvin Ridley, they're going to probably have their games. This is also a really weird game for the Jaguars too. So it's hard to make too much of it, but to answer your point, I think it'll eventually consolidate. But I don't think Evan Engram is what we thought he was going to be.
Yeah. Baker and Mike Evans, are they for real?
I'd like to believe so. I feel like we've just seen this so many times. I feel like this is a dream that I've had. It's just like, I know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to have a big couple weeks, and then it's just, then one day Baker's going to wake up and just be the worst quarterback we've ever seen. And just like, you know, like, I think the interesting thing is, what do you do with Godwin here? Like, do you just rise? Is Godwin going to get his, or are we just a season long fade on Godwin at this rate?
I will buy him low, but I mean, I'm ready to buy him low. Like, I don't think I want him as my wide receiver 2 right now, with the way Mike Evans is playing, and just having Baker as a quarterback and a defensive minded head coach is just, that's 2 more strikes against him. And so it's like, I think he's a steady floor. Like, I have him in a league where he's my flex, and I think he's like the best flex you could have, but I don't want him necessarily as my wide receiver 2. I want more volatility and more upside as a wide receiver 2.
Yeah. You think it's got to switch? You, I think the hope was that with Baker's route tree, typically where he kind of is more prolific is the underneath passes, but he also had some deep target ability that we had seen. It's kind of like what we wanted him and OBJ to be, is what him and Mike Evans are right now. But I think it'll turn around. But I mean, hey, if you got Mike Evans cheap, it's looking good so far.
Well, and I think that the Bucks, the Falcons, and the Saints are 2-0. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my word.
It's early.
It's early, but it's like, I still have no idea who's going to emerge out of that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're talking old receivers. Is Keenan Allen back?
I don't know how he's not, man. I mean,
he looks so good.
Keenan Allen is looking like the way Cooper Kupp looked like an outlet to Stafford. Like,
yeah.
And I know that it's practically a sin to compare anyone to Cooper Kupp, but I mean, Keenan just it wasn't even like he was competing for targets against anyone. Like last year, he started the season banged up and then missed like 6 weeks or whatever. But like, we thought, okay, this will be the year that Mike Williams overtakes him. And now it's like, no one is thinking that Mike Williams will ever overtake Keenan Allen. This is what Mike Williams is. He'll eventually get hurt. Keenan is Keenan, and he's just going to be that.
Until he gets hurt.
Yeah. But you know, like Quentin Johnston hasn't done anything to demand targets, to demand routes. I mean, his snap percentage is decreasing by the week. And Keenan has looked amazing.
I think the only like slight sell high argument is A, he's going to get injured most likely. But two, he had a pretty average game last week. This week, obviously, the big difference was there's no Austin Eckler, and Austin Eckler gets a lot of those targets.
Yeah.
And so he's obviously not going to have these kind of weeks every week. But if Austin Eckler, we talk about his injury, there's no timetable for his return. As long as Austin Eckler's out, I think it's Keenan Allen to the moon. But there is an argument for sell high if someone is kind of ignoring or negligent to the fact that he's very injury prone, very old, and Austin Eckler is out.
Would you, so with this, I'll work up to that. So would you trade away Keenan Allen for Garrett Wilson?
No, I would rather have Keenan Allen.
Would you rather have Keenan Allen or Davante Adams?
I mean, they both have them back in. They're kind of back in RB wide receiver ones, right? So they're kind of the same range. I think you take the offense probably. I mean, Davante just gets it done, though. I mean, that's the hard part with him, is he just always gets it done. I'd probably go Davante. So I think if you can level up Keenan for Davante, I would do it.
See, I wouldn't. Now here, I mean, that's an obvious, I guess. I was going to say, with this calf issue with Burrow, like there is a non-zero chance that they just give Burrow 2 weeks off to rest his calf.
Yeah.
And so I guess if I'm a 2-0 team, I would in a heartbeat trade away Keenan Allen for Ja'Marr Chase. But if I'm an 0-2 team, I don't know if I could hold Ja'Marr Chase if I knew that Burrow is going to be out for 2 weeks.
Better question. Would you take Keenan Allen and turn him into T. Higgins, or would you keep Keenan Allen?
I would keep Keenan Allen as of right now, given the ambiguous situation with Burrow. But if I knew that Burrow was right, like it's just buying low because Burrow's looked bad, I would take Chase, I would take Higgins, I would take either one over Allen.
AJ Brown. Yeah. So I think we have a pretty good range of where Keenan Allen's at. I think there is just an argument you could potentially move him up a little. You could buy up a little bit with him just because of his huge game. And there was no Austin Eckler there. Austin Eckler takes so many targets.
Yeah.
And he changes the complete game script too that the Chargers run. I do think your call on Justin Herbert, though, I don't think it's going to be like he's going to win anybody weeks. He might have 1 week where he just throws for, you know, 5 touchdowns and 500 yards. But he's just going to be like a quiet, like QB2 on the year.
Yep. That's kind of what I'm seeing too. And we'll see how it shakes out with, I mean, that kind of leads me into my next question of like, who do you think the first head coach to get fired is this year? Because I think it's Staley. They're 0-2. They're 0-2. They're playing the Vikings, who are also 0-2. And they don't have Eckler. I think they're going to start off 0-3.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of other good arguments at the moment, the way everyone else is playing. I mean, that might be, I mean, maybe, was it Josh McDaniels for the Raiders?
Yeah, the Raiders, that wouldn't shock me. I mean, Garoppolo, I think as soon as Aiden O'Connell is back from serving his PED suspension or whatever, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he starts.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. I think Staley is definitely, if they can't turn it around, he's on that block for sure.
We'll see. And if he's gone, then Kellen Moore's got to be the head coach. And then that's when they really start throwing the ball like crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
Are we buying low on George Kittle? Or are we scared?
I think you're just buying at price, right? Like, in this offense, we've seen your Brock Purdy, you know, give me your flowers on Brock Purdy. he's not really fantasy relevant, but he's good enough to make everybody else fantasy relevant. So, you know, we know CMC's great. Ayuk's already dealing with something. I mean, all these guys get injured a lot. I just bought Debo in a league. I think they're all going to have their weeks. And so if somebody's kind of low on him relative to market, I think you buy him. In the tight end landscape, we're just talking, we're fading Ingram, we're fading Goddard. Waller's already looking like he's injury plagued again. I think if you can get Kittle, go grab him, you know. I don't know. There's probably only a couple tight ends you'd prefer over him, right? I mean,
are there any waiver wire guys you would start over Kittle as of right now? Like Laporta, Kincaid, Hunter Henry?
I think Laporta's interesting with Amon-Ra being out potentially for a couple weeks with the turf toe. Sam Laporta's already looking good. I think I would just take Kittle's upside though over pretty much everybody else, because Kittle will get you 3 points just like the rest of them will, but he will also hang 30 on you.
Yeah,
and so
I can see that. Are we buying Breece Hall, or are we just steering clear of any Jets?
I think if you have the bandwidth that, and I want to throw somebody, I put these two together all the time, but I'm buying on Breece Hall and Javonte Williams. And I will ring this Javonte Williams bell until I will sit there and after the season, week 17 or 18, and just be like, hey, if I was wrong, I was wrong. I just don't see how he's not a league winning running back.
He's your Kyle Pitts.
I don't see how he's not. So I say Breece Hall. I think he's his better argument to buy low than Breece Hall does. You do it for Breece Hall because he's at least in a more competent offense. Like he's a little bit more removed from the injury. I mean, had come back earlier from the injury. They both looked amazing, you know, before their injuries. The problem with Breece Hall is we just know that offense just cannot get going.
Yeah.
And it's so bad. And so I think in Dynasty, yes, you buy low on Breece Hall if you can. Buy low on Garrett Wilson. But I don't know. Would you take Javonte or Breece Hall rest of the season?
If I had like a Josh Kelly, Jerome Ford, like someone who could buy me time in my RB2. Zach Moss. If I had one of those, I would rather have Breece Hall. If I needed a more consistent RB2 finisher right now, I would take Javonte Williams.
Because he's had a bad couple of weeks, but they're still figuring out their offense. He's just too good not to be utilized by Sean Payton, and Sean Payton has too much of a track record to not use his running backs. And it's Javonte or bust on that backfield. Like nobody else looks even remotely good.
Yeah, P. Ryan didn't look good. Jaleel McLaughlin is the one that got the touchdown, but Javonte is the one that drove him down that entire time. And then he had like a reception that like it was like a design screenplay or something, and he was gassed, so they took him out of the game, and yeah. Then McLaughlin vultured it.
And I think if he had that touchdown, we're talking about him in a completely different light this week.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have him in one league, and I've been panicking. So you've convinced me to wait one more week on.
Like if he has that touchdown, we're talking about him in the Kenneth Walker, like James Joe Cook Mixon territory. Yeah. Yeah. So I think if you can use the DeAndre Swift hype to go get him, I would. If you can use Kyron Williams, you know, get him, I would. But yeah, we'll see. I could be wrong on that. But I just like him a lot, and I'm rooting for the guy.
Well, let's finish out with 2 points from the Monday Night Football games. Both involve the Browns and the Steelers. Did we see a Pickens breakout, or was this a fluke?
I think this is about what you're going to get from him. I mean, he's got that big play potential. I think he's that – you were talking about, was it Chris Godwin who says your perfect flex? He's a high ceiling, high floor, low ceiling. I think the flexes are actually better when they're like nitrous. Like I think Mike Evans is a great flex because he can win you a week. I think Pickens is that great. Like he's that wide receiver 3, but just has that nitrous upside to win you a week. But I don't – and also Deontay's out. I don't think he's going to completely take over. We were talking about this on the Steelers. We were talking about with the Steelers backfield specifically last night. You and I were texting back and forth. But they've had two really tough matchups. And they looked really good in the preseason. Like all camp reports were good. they looked like they were a really well run offense. They've just had two brutal defenses that they've played against. And so I think I'm just kind of holding on these Steelers. I know Najee's maybe the one that we're going to, but I don't know if this is a Pickens breakout specifically, but I think this is,
they have Vegas next week. And I would much rather watch that game than watch them go up against Cleveland or San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, I think Pickens is a wide receiver too next week, especially with Deontay out.
Where are you at with Freiermuth? He had an awful game, but again, great defense, lots of vacated targets with Deontay. Everything points to young athletic tight end. He's going to demand more targets, but last night it didn't happen. So where are you at with him?
I'm trying to look up his targets to make sure.
It was bad. Last night was bad. I think he had one target or two.
Yeah, he had one. Week one, he had four. I don't hate him in four targets.
And he set out a bunch of the game one, because he hurt his chest.
That's right. He did play 76% of the snaps, though, which, you know, is in this tight end landscape, you know, I think it's good. I don't really know what you're going to do. I mean, if you're streaming tight ends and you can go buy him low, I think you do it. I don't know if you're going to flip Goddard for him or Ingram for him, or, you know, if you can use, and you're not going to be able to use him to go get like Kittle or something like we were talking about. So I think if you have him, you gotta keep playing him. But that's part of like the whole, if you pay up for a tight end, that's, you have to play him for a while and there's nobody else to really play. I mean, you can play Freiermuth or like Hunter Henry.
And I think that's a good comp, because I think both are in similar situations that they're not the best offenses, but both have a chance to be the number one, if not, or they have a chance to be the number two and an outside chance to be a number one. Like Henry has been the number one for the Patriots, and Freiermuth should be the number two for the Steelers with Deontay gone.
But he'll have weeks where he's the one too. So
sure,
he might be a buy low. Yeah. You talked me into a buy low. An inconsequential buy low.
Last one, the sad one, Nick Chubb severely injured his leg last night. He is out for the season. Jerome Ford is going to be the waiver wire pickup of the week. He had a great day after he replaced Chubb. Where are you at with Jerome Ford? Me and Jonathan texted about it a little bit today, and I missed it just because I was kind of swamped with some other stuff. But where are you at with him? And do you think they bring in someone else? Do you think he's fool's gold, or are you all in on getting him on waivers right now?
I'm all in. They did talk at the time of this recording. The Kareem Hunt has talked to the Browns today, so we don't know where that's at as of this recording, but we know that they have talked. And so, we did a lot of drafts. We talked all through draft season. I don't know a single fantasy player that was bigger on Nick Chubb this year than I was. I have him so many places. All of my teams were devastated last night. But it's not just, I mean, it's because of his talent, but it's also because of the offensive scheme. It's because of their offensive line. It's because of Deshaun Watson doesn't look great, but it's because of the other weapons they have, where they can kind of distribute away from him and keep them honest. And they have a good offensive line and they can just run down the middle as much as they need to. I think Jerome Ford can pick up and be 90% of Nick Chubb, 80%, maybe 85% of Nick Chubb. If Kareem Hunt gets signed, maybe that's like even a buy low opportunity, because I think over the course of the season, Jerome Ford's going to be the guy. This is not Kareem Hunt, you know, rookie season in Kansas City when he was electric. You know, those Kareem Hunt days, I'm afraid are probably gone. So I'm spending up on Jerome Ford where I can. I have one league where out of 100 fab, I only have $63 left. I'm spending all $63 to try to get him.
I mean, I'm looking at his profile and it's like, I didn't realize this. He still played 41% of snaps last week with a healthy Nick Chubb. Like, this is not like a, I think I just in my head thought it's just Nick Chubb and no one else. But I mean, Jerome Ford was relevant. I mean, and then whenever he had the chance last night against a good defense, he ran all over them and he caught passes. And
And the argument to say they bring in Kareem Hunt. Well, we've already seen this, and Nick Chubb was still elite with Kareem Hunt. So they always have some kind of timeshare. So it's if it's not going to be Jerome Ford and they don't bring in Kareem Hunt, Pierre Strong is going to play a lot. Like, there's going to be another guy that's going to play 30-40% of the snaps, whether it's Leonard Fournette, whether it's Kareem Hunt. So I think if that news weakens his overall stock, I would still be buying, because I think he's going to be relevant. Maybe he's a RB2 the whole season, but that's still with RB1 weeks. You really, outside of Kyrie Williams, you really can't get that. And it, with this situation, we know that's how it's going to be the whole year.
Yeah. And it's going to be a tough schedule. I mean, Tennessee and Baltimore the next 2 weeks, but like.
But he just gouged.
Yeah. I mean, he took care of Pittsburgh. And so I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited to see what teams I get him on tomorrow morning. I always find myself on like Wednesday mornings. Like, I always am happy to wake up at the crack of dawn just to see who I get on my teams. So
yeah,
that's what tomorrow's going to be. Is there anything else you want to touch base on?
No, like I said, we can really have one more week before we can really start making, at least the way I play, can kind of start making some real conclusions based on a 3-week sample set. So I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited. There's a lot of teams we talked about this. We really didn't talk about it enough in the offseason, but there's a significant turnover of good and bad teams every year in the NFL. So it's always fun to kind of the first couple of weeks to adapt to that and see the teams that are good that we did not expect, and the teams that were really good that we thought were gonna be good that are terrible. So and adjusting kind of rankings around that. And also after week 3, I think trades can really start picking up. People really start tilting. So I'm excited.
Yep. Trades really start picking up. And like you said, I mean, after 3 weeks, that lessens the chances of outliers. We can really start seeing trends. And so I'm really excited for next week's conversation, because that's going to be what our whole conversation is, of what's actually a trend and what just can't sustain itself. So awesome. Well, Jonathan, we missed you. We will have him on next week, and good luck, everyone. If you're 0-2, hang in there. I'm 0-2 in a couple leagues, and you just got to keep fighting. But good luck on waivers, and we will see you next week. We're the Average Pros. See ya.
Your time is valuable, and we thank you for sharing a little of it with the Average Pros. For more clear, concise, and competitive analysis, be sure to follow us on Twitter at AverageProsFF. That's at AverageProsFF. Editing and production by Jonathan Rates. Voiceover by Ben Johnson. Music by Josh Lippi and the Overtimers. We'll catch you at the next one.